On this episode of the podcast, Mike and I are going to talk about one billionaire who thinks retirement at 65 is plumb crazy. We're going to get into that conversation this week here on Strategic Planning Podcast.
Welcome to the Strategic Planning Podcast with financial coach Mike Flanders. With more than 40 years of experience in the financial services industry, Mike knows the X's and O's that'll help you achieve your financial goals. It's time for the Strategic Planning Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into the show. Mike and I hanging out here to talk about investing, finance, and retirement. And we're going to talk about, is retiring at 65 crazy? Well, one billionaire thinks it is. Of course, it's kind of weird to take that advice from someone who's got $1 billion. But hey, we're going to talk about that with Matt this week on the show. What's up, Mr. Flanders? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Getting ready for something else that's kind of crazy. It only happens every once in a while. You know what it is, right?
Yeah, we're taping this about an hour before the eclipse.
Yeah, before the eclipse. Yeah. I think my wife just came and asked me, say, hey, what time is that eclipse? And
that's
I said,
right.
I don't think it's a eclipse.
What time is that eclipse? As long as it's, I've seen people overreacting so crazy. By the time we drop this podcast, it'll already have happened, obviously, because it's happening in like an hour.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, we have them all the time. And I know this one's like some 40-year window or something. But
oh, is it?
Yeah. Okay. But it's like, okay, just, you know, it's not the end of the world. But some people are kind of reacting like almost like Y2K. You remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I'm being careful because last time back in 2017, we were up in the mountains, which was a very good place to the North Carolina mountains,
sure.
To view the eclipse and see the whole thing. And I did not look at the sun directly, but I looked at it through a magnifying glass that my grandson was pointing at some cardboard on the ground and burning a hole in the cardboard. And it turns out it burned a little patch on my eye somewhere. I forgot where, if it's the cornea or the retina.
Be careful.
Whatever. Yeah. It was crazy. So, well, it's too late now. You've already looked at it.
That's true.
Looked at it, but
yeah. Yeah. Well, the next one, be careful. There you go.
Yeah.
Well,
it got better.
So. It did. Well, that's good. Well, let's talk about three reasons why this guy is right. We've got an article here, Yahoo Finance. We'll put a link to it. If I can speak proper English, we'll put a link to it in the show descriptions. Although Americans might can file for Social Security retirement benefits as early as 62, as we know, most won't reach full retirement age until 67 based on our ages. Most people are going to be that 67 range. BlackRock CEO Larry Fink, of course, that could be the first red flag for many people because BlackRock has got their fingers in way too many pies.
Yes. He
locked in on 65 in a letter to investors this week where he said that there's a retirement crisis building, and one way to avoid that is for people to delay retirement beyond the age of 65. And I think a lot of people already feel that way. Like, I think, you know, because we are so much younger, I think, right now than we have been in prior, you know, generations. You know, my brother's 65, doesn't look it. I mean, most people think he's probably 50. I'm 52. Most people think I look about 40, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it's just kind of one of those things where we're starting to kind of embrace, you know, what is it, the 50s, the new 35 kind of thing. So
right.
I think we're feeling like
I'm 97 and people think I'm in 40s.
There you go. So. Exactly. So I think people feel like maybe working past 65 is not a bad thing. But I don't know. What's your take on this, first of all? What's your take on Larry Fink's concept here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, you know, all the basis for which he's making that statement. But I mean, 65 is awful young, it seems now. You know, you hear about people that are doing some incredible things at that age and later. And, you know, if your health is good and you can keep on going, why would you stop if you're enjoying what you're doing? I mean, you know, if you're making a difference, if it's not impinging on your family and the ability to do things with them and that sort of stuff. I mean, I think it's a great idea. I mean, slow down, maybe change careers to something that you can do part time or what have you. But yeah, I think retiring at 65 and just not working.
Right. Work optional. I do like the work optional conversation.
I like that.
Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah. And he says it's a bit crazy. It's an older anchor. And I do agree with it. It is an older anchor. You know, I mean, you're thinking about Social Security, right? I mean, obviously when people, you know, early on in the early days of it, right, you know, retirement was set at 65. And, you know, most people were dying at 63, you know, back at that time. So, yeah, I mean, it's a totally different animal. And obviously part of the crisis he is referring to, Mike, is the Social Security crisis. You know, in about a decade, the program's Old Age and Survivors Insurance Trust Fund, that's a mouthful, is expected to run out of money, right?
Right.
So what happens? Yeah. We've heard this conversation, or, you know, they're going to drop down to 77%. That's yes. the conversation. So, yeah, that's a real thing.
Yeah, a lot of different options floating around, and there are actually bills being proposed now in Congress, which is kind of unique. They usually wait until like the day before it's going to crash to do anything about it. But they're getting a little bit ahead of the game this time, at least it seems, if they can follow through. And, you know, that's the big bugaboo is you're getting buy-in from enough representatives and senators to be able to actually pass a bill and do something about it. But yeah, there are a lot of proposals being made. And of course, we've talked about this. We've done workshops and other podcasts where we discuss this, but about 2034, the trust fund is expected to be depleted, and that will just mean that current workers who are paying into Social Security will be the only ones funding the program going forward. So there won't be extra funds to draw on under current law, the way that they've structured the budgets and so forth now, other than what's coming in the door. So there's the expectation that would cause the benefit to reduce by about 23% to 77% of what people are getting currently and projected to get. And, you know, I don't know how long that would last, you know, if the working people reduce in rank even more and there's even more retirees out there. Of course, that will start to shift eventually once the baby boomers die off and that sort of thing. And I are one of those. So, you know, as long as I can get out of here, then that'll help them, you know, not have as much of a drag. But there are a lot of proposals for how to fix that. And, you know, increase the retirement age is one of them. So that kind of fits with what Larry Fink's saying you know, maybe go a little longer. And there are benefits to that. You know, the longer you can delay, the more the benefit is, as long as you start by age 70, which is the latest you want to delay. But, you know, not only that, but you also have time to earn more and pay more into it, which might knock out a few of the lower earning 35 years that they look at to calculate your benefits. So it might bump it up a little bit more that way. So there's some reasons to keep going. But even after 70, you know, if you're enjoying it, go for it and keep going.
Yeah, let's talk about those three things he listed. So he listed people are living longer. Okay, yeah. Yes, definitely. So Social Security definitely needs fixing. And employer-sponsored retirement plans, you know, are going to continue to grow. Now, look, let's be honest. Okay, this guy might be a billionaire and lead this big company, but none of these are exactly earth-shattering prognostications, right? No. I mean, these things are pretty obvious. So we know we're living longer. And if you really think about all three of them, they're running hand in hand. So we have to build a bigger nest egg for ourselves, period. That's
exactly right. You got more time, you got to live off of it.
Yep.
You got to have more in the pot. And, you know, even though you might want to turn your Social Security on at 70, let's say, if you're going to continue working, as long as you continue to work and you're not a 5% or more owner of the company you work for. In other words, you're not a company owner and you don't own more than 5% of the value of the company, the stock of the company, then you can continue to defer taking distributions from your 401k, let it continue to grow. And so you keep working past 73, which is now the age in which you have to turn required minimum distributions on. No, you don't. Not for those. As long as you continue on payroll. And it doesn't even have to be full time on the payroll. You can cut back the hours and still employed there. You don't have those required minimum distributions. And that can allow that to grow quite handsomely. Another thing that just kind of comes to mind about that is, let's say you are working less and so your income's a little bit lower, but you are getting Social Security and all. You might want to, rather than continue to do pre-tax contributions, if that's what you've been doing, switch to Roth contributions in the 401k and build some tax-free income even before you get to that point. It's not a bad idea to have a tax-free pocket and maybe move some of that pre-tax stuff over. You'll pay a few more dollars in taxes now, but I kind of bet you it will work out good in the long run, because those earnings are going to be tax-free. The money you're putting aside is going to be tax-free. And I kind of have a sneaky suspicion that tax rates are not going to be as low as they are now.
I think most of us feel that way, right? So if you're not, I mean, look at the Secure Act changes, the Secure Act rules. If you're not getting the note, the memo that they're saying, hey, put more of this has got to be on you to prepare for this. And if you're not sharing, you know, a lot of our listeners, Mike, are probably already over 50, but you're going to have, you've got kids and grandkids most likely. If you're not teaching them this information, you're doing them a disservice, because it's going to be the case that they're going to have to definitely self-fund a whole lot more than the current generation. And, you know, the people, boomers that are retiring now, they're not going to have to worry about more than likely some of the Social Security fixing issue, because they'll probably be grandfathered in. Right.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
you know, people under 50 more than likely are going to have changes. So let's talk about the last piece of this, which is really the employer sponsored retirement plans growing. Again, this is where for young people, you've got to start taking advantage of the various things that are out there. I mentioned the Secure Act. They're making a lot of changes. They've made a lot of changes to kind of help jobs and people save. So do it.
Oh, for sure. There used to be the day of the pension, you know, where the employer put the money aside, and they don't do that anymore. And that's a little bit of reason for higher earnings that people have, because you're now expected to be putting that money aside for yourself, as opposed to having the employer do it and put it in a low yielding interest bearing account and paying you out a pension when you retire. Now you get to do that, and you can, you know, be a little more aggressive with the money if that's a comfortable thing for you, to grow it a little bit more strongly than what might be otherwise done. So you've got some options there. And, you know, like we said, putting it aside in a Roth type situation where the money goes in with taxes having been taken out already, so that you're never going to be taxed on that money that you contribute again. And then the employer amount going in and you earning on that, goodness gracious, that can build quite a substantial size or a substantial amount of funds to utilize to live off of tax-free in retirement. And that helps with Social Security, which is now included in taxable income. If your total income's over certain levels, you may not pay any tax on your Social Security because there's nothing else to add to it to create the scenario where it's subject to income tax. So it's well worthwhile to take a look at that and see what the benefit is of utilizing that structure for your 401k, but at least doing the 401k. And I want to encourage you, don't think in terms of just putting enough in to get the employer match. Do that, obviously, because that's 100% on your money if you're getting a dollar for dollar match. But look at putting more in.
Do a
Roth IRA outside. Do a traditional IRA outside, and then, you know, keep stashing money into that 401k over and above your ability to do those outside. And it works out well in the long run if you'll do it.
And I think, you know, Mike, to that point, we have got to do a better job with this stuff. And it's really going to come back into financial education, I think, of the next generations, because for many of us that are over 50, again, a lot of things, I mean, it's not totally set in stone. They could do whatever, right? They still can change. It's their chessboard. They can still change the rules and the pieces, right? But take advantage of some of the stuff that's out there now. More things are happening to make it easier to start saving and put away. And if you are over 50, you know, you do get, and we've talked about it many times on the show, you are in this area where you have a chance. Hopefully you're making the most money. You have some of these catch-up contributions and things. So hopefully you can get some stuff put away to put extra, you know, onus on yourself to, you know, to be prepared.
Absolutely. Yeah. Really encourage it.
Could not agree more. So while he's a billionaire, he's not wrong in this particular situation. Again, nothing groundbreaking. I think we can, if you pay any attention, I think, at all to finance, just to even a little bit cursory, I think we all realize that we've got some serious problems ahead of us. And if we don't, you know, get the right people in office who truly want to try to make some changes, and who knows if that can ever really happen, but without getting too political, we have to make some changes because we just have a lot of, you know, we got a lot of things in our way. So don't necessarily sit around and wait on them to do it for you. Figure out ways to do the, you know, within the rules that you can do for yourself.
And that's the American way, right?
True.
It really is. I mean, Congress might be in session and monkeying with things, but hey, we're out here thinking of ways to circumvent the thing illegally and take advantage of what we know.
Exactly. And I, you know, Mike, and I love, I'll finish with this. I love the fact that somebody like Mark Twain or even Will Rogers said things about Congress and the Senate, you know, 100 or 150 years ago. And it still holds true, right? So it's not like people in that job have ever done a great job. You know, when you've got somebody like Mark Twain saying, you know, imagine that you're an idiot, and then also I repeat myself because imagine you're a member of the Senate, right? So, you know, so
I think that was Twain. Yeah, that's right.
They've never done a good job. So, you know, we have to play within the rules that they set, unfortunately. We elect them to do things we want them to do. They tend to never really do it. But you can take care of the things that you need to try to take care of within those parameters. And it starts with getting a good strategy and a good plan. And if you need some help, reach out to Mike, as always, and be prepared for retirement. And I think back to the concept of this article, if retiring at 65 is crazy. Look, if you feel good, if you're happy, if you enjoy what you do, then keep working. If you have to keep working because you need the money, that's one thing. But I think if you are active and vital, why not? You know, if you like what you do. If you hate what you do, doesn't mean you have to quit. Just maybe find something else to do, you know?
Right.
Because I don't know about you, Mike, but I don't think humans are designed to just sit.
We are not.
You know?
From the time we were put in the garden and we were supposed to work and till it, and it's time to keep doing it.
I mean, you've been doing this 45 plus years. I mean,
you're
still going, and I know that you have plans to continue to work. Now, you may scale back, but you're still working, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So, folks, do yourself a favor. Reach out to Mike if you got some questions, need some help. SPCinvesting.com. That's SPCinvesting.com. And subscribe to the podcast on Apple or Spotify or YouTube, Google platforms. And if you got questions, reach out to him. And we'll see you next time here on Strategic Plan.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.